Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant that by your inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding may do them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. The son of the mistress of the house at Zarephath became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the mother said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son to me so that I might proclaim Him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, "The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy." And they glorified God because of me. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Soon after healing the centurion's slave, Jesus went to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up, began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As Jesus approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. He was her only son. I believe the most terrible loss anyone can experience is the death of a child. There is no greater grief, no more painful sorrow, no more difficult anguish or misery than that which comes when a son or a daughter dies. Some of you may know that experience yourselves. Some may have had a child die. And the wound may be years old. But the touch of memory can bring back the pain and the horror of the loss of a child. I'm thankful that I personally haven't had to endure such pain. But I've certainly been with families who have. As priest and pastor, I've seen and felt the agony of a father or a mother who have had to go through such a terrible, terrible time. The story we have in today's gospel is a wonderful one, but it may not be easy for us to hear because many of us have been in the position of the widow. If not dealing with the death of a child, we have lost people whom we dearly loved, and there was not a prophet around to touch the body and bring the dead back to life. But this story invites us to reflect on how Jesus dealt with the people around him. There's more to this story than first meets the eye. St. Luke points out that this woman was a widow, and this was her only son. Now that meant that he was her sole means of support. Families provided for the elderly. People's children were their retirement. She was not just a widow, she was poor. Kay and I deliver Meals on Wheels every week. And if you want to see the needy poor, come with us someday. There was no Social Security in first century Palestine. There was no Meals on Wheels. So losing her only son meant losing her lifeline, her support, her hope for the future, her connection with the community. Now she had no one. When Jesus saw the funeral procession, nobody came running up and asking him for help. Luke tells us simply, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Do not weep." Unlike so many healings that Jesus performs, no one at the village of Nain asks for anything. There is no mention of anyone having faith. Instead, it is Jesus' compassion for the mother that stands out. Jesus doesn't ask her about her faith. Instead, he sees her need and meets it. Freely, spontaneously, unprovoked, Jesus does for the widow what she cannot do for herself. And that, after all, is the promise of the gospel. He raises her son from death to life. The playwright Eugene O'Neill once wrote, "Man is born broken. He lives by mending. And the grace of God is the glue." Man is born broken. He lives by mending. And the grace of God is the glue. And that is what was happening in the village of Nain. God mending his creation. And let me tell you, that mending goes on today. It goes on here. It goes on here at St. Thaddeus. It goes on in our lives when we follow Jesus. I once had a woman in my parish who was raised in another church tradition who said to me that she missed the altar calls of her youth and thought that Episcopal congregations should offer them at least a couple of times a year. Well, my answer, I hope, was kind, but my answer was that we have an altar call every week. We're called to the altar every time we celebrate the Eucharist. We come together. We confess our sins and we ask God's forgiveness. We hear the good news that we are forgiven, and we proclaim words of peace to one another. And then we approach the altar, and as a sign and symbol of our conversion and reconciliation, we receive Christ. You see, we take Christ in as we receive the bread and wine. We have an altar call every week, every time we break bread together, because we are called to conversion and reconciliation, not once in a lifetime, but countless times. So the mending of creation is going on right now in us by Christ. He touches us. He heals us. He restores us to life. And what difference does it make that we come to this altar? Does it make a difference in our lives where we live? You and I, as followers of Jesus, are called to reach out to relieve the suffering of others. The Lord was moved to compassion in this story. Why? Because he knew what she faced as a widow without a son, without support. And throughout the Bible, as you read it, you will find that there is a concern for assisting widows because of their great need. So what about today? Who is in great need? In this story, Jesus sees the widow. Luke says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her. Jesus saw her. He saw her need. She needed her son. Jesus always seems to be able to truly see, to see those who are often invisible. Do you and I see others who are in need? Do we really see, let's say, the panhandler on the corner? Or do we turn our eyes away and just keep walking? Do we see the homeless? Do we see the hungry? Do we see the uneducated, the unemployed? Note that Jesus didn't ask how good the widow was. He didn't ask, do you have faith? He didn't wonder if she would be grateful. No, he really saw her, and he met her need. May God give us the grace to truly see the needs of others. Give us the grace to be a part of the mending of the world by the grace of God. Amen.
Will you please stand with me and profess your faith by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 9 in the bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternal begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are Form 6. Found in your insert and are found in your bulletin. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all families in their daily life and work. For this community, the nation, and the world. For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, George, our bishop, and for David, our rector, for Pat, our priest associate, and for all of us as ministers who share in God's work through this parish and in our lives, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially those on our prayer list. We pray for Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, JR, Blair, Michelle, Joan, Kevin, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Brent, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Wendell, Corinne, Jeff, Regina, Irene, Larry, June, Michael, Joe, Debbie, Margaret, Laura, Pat, Baylor, Dwayne, Shay, Bob, Randall, Ed, Margaret, Don, Ed, Doug, Cecilia. Are there any others to add? Hear us, Lord.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
Praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Lord, your trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, to have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Just a couple of announcements this morning. We continue to solicit your requests for hymns to be sung during the summer months. We've started that this morning. If you notice, be sure to print the title of the hymn and your name so we can acknowledge who has requested it. That basket is out on the table in the narthex. This being the first Sunday, I would remind you that our wellness committee will be in the center for blood pressure checks. And also, being the first Sunday, the loose offering is designated for the discretionary fund. Are there any other announcements? Yes. Can you speak up just? Thank you. Any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we're bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. But deliver us from evil. The thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.